present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello, hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the show that's never afraid to grab the bull by the horn. You join us... You join us for a second week at the King's Theatre in Southsea for what is the last programme in the current series. And there isn't a single word in our language that can express how we all feel at this news. It takes a minimum of four. Absolutely delighted and thoroughly relieved. Southsea and neighbouring Portsmouth share links with many famous historical figures. Isambard Kingdom Brunel was born here and christened in the local church amid great celebration, as his parents had just won the first two prizes in Southsea's most stupid novelty name for a small child competition. Now, after our panel appeared here last week and promised a second show, a throng of locals besieged the theatre, queuing overnight for returns. But the manager refused point blank to take any tickets back, so the teams do actually have an audience. And here are the teams. On my right, Sandy Toksvig and Tim Brooke-Taylor. And on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And please welcome our stand-in scorer all the way from Sweden, the very rippling Sven. Sven was telling us how pleased he is to be here again, as his shows go much better in Portsmouth than in London. He always enjoys impressive ratings down here. Right, on with the games, which this week begin with a round of historical headlines. Teams, I'd like you please to suggest how today's publications might have reported certain historical events. And the first is Nelson's victory at Trafalgar. Would you like to start, please, Graham?
Yes, a headline from the Times. Nelson's column gets go-ahead. But what's going to be inside it?
Oh, I have a copy of The Guardian here. Yesterday's headline should have read, Admiral shot on deck.
The Daily Star, readers save donkey in Spain.
Wrestling Times. Half Nelson invented.
Grecian Column Makers Monthly.
I take it regularly.
New work likely.
And also in The Guardian, on their corrections and clarifications page, yesterday's headline, French Navy Loses Battle. should have read, French Navy Loves Bottle.
Daily Telegraph, Nelson denies selling arm to Sierra Leone.
Let's try another one. This time it's Richard III crowned king after princes murdered in Tower. Tim.
The Sun, dickhead crowned.
Exchange and mark. King swaps kingdom for horse.
The Express, Prince's murders. Police are following a hunch.
Well,
Conservative Party newsletter, August 1483, class sizes reduced in Royal Primary School.
What have I here? The arts page of the Guardian. King announces winner of disco tent. The Sun, 10 things you never knew about Richard III. 1, he uses a wok to iron his shirts.
1 in the Gloucester Echo, local man gets top job.
The Daily Star, readers save donkey in Spain.
The Independent, Richard III, crowned king.
And in the Guardian's corrections and clarifications column, yesterday's headline, Ponce's Throne in Tower. Should have read, Prince's Throw in Towel.
Perusing this card in front of me, I see we have a singing round now called Pick Up Song, where the teams join in with discs from my collection. DJ Sven has spent all afternoon in the singles section of my record library, where he's pulled out every one of the Village People's 7 inches.
Dear feedback.
After thinking about them long and hard, it is right. He decided they didn't suit and made another selection for the teams. As your allocated disc plays, teams, each of you should sing along. At my signal, Sven will turn the volume down as you attempt to stay in time. If on its return you're within a nits cheesy quaver of the original, I'll be awarding points, and points mean prizes. Or points means the third person singular case of the verb to point. What do points... What does points mean? This week's prize is a tasty snack from the new Sarson's Chiropody range. It's this jar of pickled bunions. We'll try 2 duets this week. Barry and Graham, would you please accompany Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy singing The Trail of the Lonesome Pine?
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine, in the pale moonshine, our hearts entwine, where she carved her name, and I carved mine, oh, June. Does the mountains are blue like the pine, I am lonesome for you. In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine. In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine, in the pale moonshine, hearts entwined. Oh!
Okay, you now, Tim and Sandy, and I'd like you to accompany the singing nuns with their delightful number. With that delightful number, Dominique.
Dominique, Dominique, sur la laisse de mon routier, pauvre chanteur. En tout chemin, en tout lieu, il ne parle de bon Dieu, il ne parle que de mon Dieu. À la propre chose, on terre, terre et très loin. Dominique, notre père, en baptise et leur besoin. En tout chemin, en tout lieu, il ne parle de bon Dieu, il ne parle que de bon Dieu.
Saint un jour un hérétique par défense le camp du oui, mais notre père Dominique par ce joie la convertit. Dominique, Dominique, sois belle et tout simplement, routière, pauvre et chantant. Quand tu chantes en entier, il ne parle que de bonheur, il ne parle que
d'amour, ni diligence.
Right, let's hurry along. Charades is a popular, amusing and thoroughly entertaining parlour game requiring skill, imagination and a keen sense of fun. It therefore has no place in this programme. So instead we're going to play a subtle variation called Sound Charades, in which contestants provide clues to certain titles using only their mouths. It's not, of course, to be confused with the French version, Charade d'Epardieu, in which contestants provide clues using only their noses. Tim and Sandy, you're to start. Your title will now be broadcast on the in-house virtual reality laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
The Horse Whisperer. The Horse Whisperer.
Barry and Graham, you're guessing this one. Okay, off you go, Tim and Sandy.
It's three words, it's a book, and it's a new film. Bling, bling.
Hello.
Here. Would you like the winner of the 2:30 at Pontefract?
I'm sorry?
Would you like a winner of the 2:30 at Pontefract?
Well, that's awfully kind of you, but I honestly don't think my garden's big enough.
Fair enough. All right.
Go ahead, Barry and Graham.
Ah, three words, book and a film. A lot of whispering going on. Sound of a little horse.
Yes.
It does the
warm,
word...
Warm.
Does the word the appear?
Yes. The horse mutterer.
The horse whisperer.
Yay!
Right, your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Deconstructing Harry. Deconstructing Harry.
Okay, Barry and Graham, do your mime, please.
This is a film.
A film, and it's two words.
Two words.
Ah, Hamish.
Dougal. You'll have had your tea.
Aye, I have indeed. What are you doing up that ladder?
Oh, it's a sad day. I'm taking down this sign you see outside Harry's House of Haggis.
Oh, could I give you a hand?
No, not just now, Dougal. I'm busy.
No. Oh, let me help.
Oh, very kind, that's very kind of you. Well, help me down with this H.
Oh, there we go. What's next?
A.
I said, what's next?
No, Dougal. The letter A, letter A.
There we go. Hamish, are you going to be all right with your R's up there?
Don't you worry, I'll soon get them down. Why?
Why what?
Why bother? Well, that's it done.
You've done the job, Hamish, sure enough.
Aye.
Oh.
Okay, start guessing Tim and Sandy.
The longest day. Letters, is that...
Spelled out Harry for
help.
Some reason.
Harry. That won't help.
Harry's ladder.
Would it be dirty in any way?
No.
Breaking
Harry.
D? Is it destructive?
Destroying
or?
Harry. Destroying Harry.
Deconstructing.
Deconstructing Harry.
And and with the game finely poised...
I like that, sir.
We go on for an educational round called What's the Question? In this round, the teams will be playing a reverse form of general knowledge where I provide an answer and they guess what the question might have been. So, for example, if the answer is because it was there, the question was obviously, why did Barry Crowe go to the pub? Okay, teams, here are some answers, but what are the questions? Starting with you, Barry. Hanging in the bathroom.
What is too good for people who pee in the bath?
Real answer is, where did Francis I of France keep the Mona Lisa when he originally bought it in 1517?
Or where would you find George Michael?
Graham, here you are. 90% of it is done by females.
What do men like about housework?
How does a pride of... This is your answer, which is the question.
What?
How does a pride of lions share out the hunting responsibilities? Tim, not if your name is Mary.
Is Christmas a good name?
Well, the real answer is it legal to be a prostitute in Siena? Sandy, they have both sets of sexual organs on their bodies.
What singles out a successful Eurovision Song Contest winner?
The real answer is, how can you tell that worms are hermaphrodite? Okay, here are some that any of you can answer. 700 wives.
Who can do the work of 4 million men?
Pardon, sister. Dominique Nicken.
The real question should be, how many wives did King Solomon have? They weren't allowed to touch his face.
What were Robin Cook's plastic surgeons not allowed to do?
Well, I don't know who's been reading what book of statistics, but the answer is, what part of Emperor Napoleon's body were prostitutes forbidden to touch?
Except those called Mary.
Here's the last one. Here's the last answer. Saltpeter.
Jesus, what do you want on your last supper?
The answer is, what is added to charcoal and sulfur to make gunpowder? Right, it's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. First of all, I noticed from the duty log that we've received a letter of complaint from an irate listener, a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. She writes, Dear Kenton, I was appalled on tuning in this morning to hear a torrent of blatant filth with terms such as Big Bang, large firm success, satisfying performance, and worst of all, job blows. It was the most disgusting edition of the Today Programme Business Report ever. Yours faithfully, Mrs. Trellis, Wild Shag Cottage, Upper Sheep. Upper Sheepsbottom Lane, much humping on sea. Okay, teams, on with the game. And since we're on the South Coast, we'll play a nautical version developed in England by French sailors captured during the Napoleonic Wars, which they knew as Mornington Croissant. According to the Martello Convention, thank you very much indeed. According to the Martello Convention of 1807, the broadside turn, whereby a player can repeat his opponent's declaration and thereby reverse the order of play, though usually frowned upon by the standard game, is positively encouraged here. Otherwise, sudden diagonal play to starboard is referred to as tacking, and once a player is blocked, they're in poop. And should miss a turn. Tim, will you start, please?
Neasden.
Gerrard Street.
Wapping.
No, I was trying an offside. I know a broadside turn there.
You could.
No, I can stop it with Covent Garden.
Yeah.
Well, that's the matter. It's the Matelot Convention, isn't it?
Yeah. Does that mean he's in poop?
No. Well, that's beside the point. No. It's reversed then, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. Because we've got a diagonal.
So if I say Victoria, it comes through. Victoria.
Victoria.
Straightforward.
Repeat. Reverse.
Hounslow Central. Comes back.
Right,
yeah. Goes back round now, doesn't it?
Yeah. Lancaster Gate.
Oh, well, I can do a double play now. Totteridge and Whetstone.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
So that restores the order.
Yeah.
Yep, go on.
Runcorn Avenue.
No.
Shooter's Hill.
Two ladies said it now.
Oh, you see, he would have been in poop if you hadn't jumped in.
Right. Too late.
Didn't you worry?
He jumped in. He missed the poop.
Queensgate.
Queensgate.
Oh,
could have got it then.
I know. We're
backtracking
it.
All right, we're backtracking it.
You haven't played it very often, don't you?
I know, I didn't know I could go straight to Mornington.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Now?
No.
Tackies is tacking, I don't know. No. Ebury Street.
Mornington Crescent. Oh.
Well, it's time now for a round called Madrigal. A madrigal, of course, was a kind of medieval lament, bemoaning the state of the world and harking back to a mythical golden age which never existed. In the modern world, of course, this is known as the Daily Mail. In this round, the teams will take it in turns to sing various lines in order to make up the verses of a madrigal. As usual, musical accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell, who I hear caused panic on the stock market recently simply by shouting his name three times down the telephone. It's Colin, Colin, Colin. Okay, I'll provide you with the subject teams about which I'd like you to compose a madrigal, taking one line each until you hear this noise. The subject is the Eurovision Song Contest. Tim, will you start, please?
As I switched on my TV set in the merry month of May,
Terry Wogan was a-twittering in his inimitable way.
It didn't seem quite kosher. So I returned to reading
my new Nova Scotia brochure.
But when the song was, it seemed to be irrational.
The bloke who had been singing was called Dana International. He'd had an operation,
and my, how high he sang.
And now he's got to number one,
although he's got null point.
Well, that's nearly all we have time for, but we must just squeeze in the football manager's ball. So while Sven nips out to run a finger down his fantasy 11... and imagines who he might have to pull off at half-time. I'll ask the teams to announce the late arrivals at a ball for football managers. Okay, Barry.
Will you welcome Mr. and Mrs. Dickris signing in, and their son Lou Dickris signing in.
Will you please welcome Mr. and Mrs. the Bastard in the Black, and their son Hughes the Bastard in the Black.
And from Scotland, will you welcome Mr. and Mrs. Anne and their son Bernie? Hi, Bernie Anne. Motherwell.
Just behind them, Mr. and Mrs. Nahum Hotspur. And their baby Tot.
Oh, these two are fun. Mr. and Mrs. Time Bollocking. And their son, Arthur Time Bollocking.
And a warm, warm welcome, please, for Mr. and Mrs. Bennett Ref. Get your bleed nice tested. And their son, Gordon Bennett Ref. Get your bleed nice tested.
You're welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Palace Mill, Derby County 5. And their daughter, Crystal Palace Mill.
Mr. and Mrs. Game of Two Halves and their daughter, Itza.
There's Kenny Dalgleish over there making the Mafia an offer they can't understand.
Mr. and Mrs. Drool. And their decidedly dodgy son, Offside Drool.
Will you please welcome from Germany, Herr and Frau over the ghoulies when you're standing in the wall? And their son, Hans over the ghoulies.
And so... Oh,
look, this Glenn Hoddle and Chris Waddle with a model. What a doddle.
Mr. and Mrs. Academicals Mill. And their son, Hamilton.
Mr. and Mrs. Throvers and their son, Ray Throvers.
And will you welcome from Scotland from the old days, Mr. and Mrs. Champions and their diminutive son, the wee Arthur Champion. Welcome back. And will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. The Ball, your great fairy, and their son, Ed the Ball, your great...
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the flatulent skunk of time wanders into the air conditioning system of eternity, and the piranha fish of fate circles hungrily in the bidet of destiny, I notice it's the end of the show, and indeed the series. We'll be back again. Well, we'll be back again in the autumn. In the meantime, for myself, Sven, the teams, and the sunny people of Southsea, it's goodbye.
Graham Garden, Sandy Toxvig and Tim Brooke Taylor have been given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sells setting some of them to music. The program consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.